All right. I think it's good that no one is sitting here. I do have a sinus infection, but the doctor told me that after I was on antibiotics for a day that I'm not contagious. And so I'm not contagious at this point, but still, I just don't want to make anybody nervous. And I can even move this back further. I did that during Bible doctrine.
Move it up.
And so all right, if you have lesson 13, be sure to turn that in. Many of you already have, but collecting those, that's our last one. So, all right. By the way, I'll just say this. I want to give you a little props this morning. Every year, I usually have about five people that don't turn in assignment after assignment in here. And I was just kind of looking through my grade book. I think, unless you missed something while you were sick, I think everybody's pretty well caught up or close to it, which is the best that I think I've ever had for this class. And it's the most people that turned theirs in ahead of time. Usually we have one or two overachievers. But this year we have lots of overachievers in here that like getting things in way ahead of time. I never operated that way. That just wasn't in my being to do that. But do appreciate everybody getting those in. Did I send the attendance? Okay, good. Good. All right. Well, I made it through my first class just fine. Hopefully that'll be the same for this one as well. We only have three classes left. And here's what we're going to do is we're going to go to page 24 today. Pardon? We'll get there. We'll get there. How many like the TV show Monk? Okay. That's pretty good. I think everybody has a certain amount of OCD. Some have it worse. I did a study on it for a camp series. And so I interviewed Mr. Bagley. And he has every form of OCD a person can have. It was an interesting discussion, just seeing how his mind works. He's gotten much better. His wife has helped him with that. But, yeah, kind of interesting how people operate. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to go through some of the worksheets that have been covered for this class. And Father, I pray that my mistakes would be of help to people not to go down the same road. And we ask that you would just guide and direct us as we finish up in our studies. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to start with number 5 on page 24. And I think you guys pretty well know everything that is going on with 1 through 4. But he had 5 reasons for using a committee to plan activities. Somebody give me one of them. They don't have to be in order, but somebody give me one. Yes. Okay. Yeah, it helps spread everything out. My wife came home Friday night, was the banquet, right? And just mentioned different ones that helped. And what a great thing that was, because it just makes it easy for everybody, and it does share the load. And for somebody that's very, very busy, that is huge. What else did he say was good about it? Now, come on, you guys. You've got it sitting right there in front of you. Maybe I should call on people today. This would be a change for this class. Does anybody want to volunteer somebody to start us off?
John.
I don't have that page, but I'll read it. Here we go. Bold creativity.
All right. Now, I don't know totally how you gals planned your banquet. Is it a whole group of people? Doesn't it make it fun when it gets really, really creative? And instead of maybe one person having all the ideas, you've got all these people that can add to what's going on. And for me, I love sitting in on a committee and planning an event, because it gets to be so much fun. There's so many great ideas. What would be another thing? Hey, Grant.
Each member will have ownership of the events.
Okay. Now, if you've had part in the planning, what does that do for you? I'm not asking it the best way. Yeah.
So that they will want it to work. They will do their best to make it happen. If it's your idea and they're not thrilled about it, they're going to be passive, and they almost want it to not work so they can say, I told you so. But if they are in part of planning, they're going to do their best to make sure it works.
When we used to do Frontier Focus, you always have certain people that have a very strong personality. Am I right? Do you guys know everyone in here who has a strong personality? Probably. And one of the mistakes that would happen with Frontier Focus is one person would say, oh, I'm going to do this. Hey, I don't need your help. I'm going to do this. And they would just run with it. Well, the other people that were on the committee, it was like, okay, it's all yours. If you want it all, you can have it all, and I'm not going to be part of this because you don't want my help. And so it makes it so you don't really, not everybody has ownership. The next one. Yes. Enthusiasm. Why are we laughing? Pardon? Okay, all right. Try it again. There we go. Okay, enthusiasm. Excuse me. Okay, you get to be in on things from start to finish. And it's fun. There used to be a TV show that somebody would say, I love it when a plan comes together. I don't even remember what it was. The A-Team, okay. In the dark resources of my brain, that was there. But that's the idea, is there's enthusiasm. And then the last one. A pool of resources. Give me a resource that could be part of what we're talking about here.
A swimming pool.
A swimming pool. Yes. Okay. Yeah, skills that people have along that way.
I know a guy who owns the place. He gives
discounts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had, for our youth group, we had some people in our church that had beautiful cabins up in the mountains that we could either use for free or for a really, really, really reduced price. And it was some people that did help us with the youth group and so on. But let me tell you, we didn't stay. Well, one time we stayed in a place that was kind of a dive. I'll tell you about that in a second. But, a place, a cabin, a house. We had one family. He was a youth sponsor. His son was in the youth group. And he owned like three car companies. And Volvo, Mercedes, I don't remember what the other one was. But boy, they had, not only did they have a big house, but they also had a really, really nice pool. And so we tapped into those resources. Or how about this? Somebody that has a ski boat, and you're going to a lake or something like that. There were times where we did have that, and it really was a lot of fun. And so, resources. Number six, why should you schedule activities as early as possible? Okay. And I think we talked a little bit about this. You guys, most churches have a church calendar where you can sign up for one of the buildings to use it for an activity. Our church in Santa Rosa, we also had a church bus. And you signed up to use the bus as well. And if you wanted to be able to use either, you signed up way, way in advance. So you don't want any conflicts. Also, you don't want parents planning their family vacation during that particular time. My goal at Santa Rosa Bible Church was to get every single person in our youth group to go to high school camp. And so what we would do, as soon as camp was over with, we'd come out with our next calendar, and on the calendar it would say how many days till high school camp. A year in advance. So parents can take a look at that. And a lot of times, parents will plan vacations well, well in advance. And if they see, oh, wait, the youth group has their missions trip during this time, or they have high school camp during this time, they can schedule around those things. Avoid conflicts. Number seven, why investigate all facilities ahead of time? All right. When somebody puts together their promotional materials, what do they do? Pardon? They'll show you the best. What were you going to say?
Obviously, they over-exaggerate how good or fancy their
thing is. Mm-hmm. If there is one tree on the property, that tree will be in their promotional materials. If there is a creek on the property, that creek, even though you can hardly get your foot wet, there's so little water in it, that creek will be in their promotional materials. It's interesting to look at real estate listings. And I'll look at ones around this area, and they'll say Bear Mountain and so on, and I'll go, where is this one? I don't recognize this picture. And, well, if it has any tree, any creek, it's going to be in the picture. What were you going to say? Somebody had their hand up back there. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to see what's there. The only time, there's only two times where I went in with another church on a youth activity. And one was a really bad experience, the other one was not. But I eventually decided it's a challenge enough just getting to know our own young people. Let's just do our own thing. That's what I ended up doing. But we decided we would go in together on a winter retreat. So we rented this place. We brought inner tubes. I love to go inner tubing on the snow. And it really is a lot of fun. If there's snow. What we didn't realize was the elevation for this retreat center. We planned all of these winter activities, no snow. We had to replan the whole weekend. What a surprise! But we didn't do enough research. That was a bad weekend for a lot of reasons. Excuse me. Another place, the lodge was a disaster. About as rustic as it could be. There were pitfalls we didn't even know about. All the guys stayed upstairs, the girls were downstairs. The downstairs wood-burning stoves heated the upstairs through grates and just allowed the heat to go up. Really a bad idea. One of our young men had just taken a shower and was warming himself with his towel around him, standing over the grate. Oh. Peter, get off of that. And to this day, we have no idea. But I would say that was one of Peter's most embarrassing moments. Even if nobody saw him. The whole thing was kind of a disaster. You want to make sure everything's going to work. You got to go see it. Or talk to somebody who's been there so that you can plan. Why make a list of all activity details?
So the parents can look at it and see if they're okay with everything.
Okay, that would be one reason. There's another huge reason. Okay, so you can delegate, that's good, and you kind of mentioned the third one that I'm really, really looking for.
Nothing is overlooked or forgotten.
Yeah. Like when we went to the beach with our youth group. Gonna have a bonfire, make s'mores, roast hot dogs. Guess who forgot the matches? It could have been really bad. But sometimes events like that inspire you to creative thinking. So we got a bunch of... I did remember newspaper. I did remember that. So it was like the Olympics. I went to the school van, pushed the lighter in, and then lit a piece of paper on fire. They took it to the next person in the line and lit their piece of paper. All the way down to the beach and to our fire pit. Guess what went on my list for the next beach trip? I wrote matches on there. And I think I've told you guys, I am a list person. I keep my lists. When you know you're going to be doing things multiple times with a youth group, or maybe with camp, or maybe with children's ministries, you have certain events, keep your lists. Evaluate your list. Update your list. And so that the next time that you do it, you're good to go. And it, you don't have to leave town thinking, okay, what did I forget? Because it's all there. It's all there. It's important. So I'm going to read number 9. That's a disaster waiting to happen. If you wait to the last minute to try to tie up loose ends, you're going to get stressed. You're not going to be able to get it all done. And you guys, even like with our church bus, I think I told you church buses are the most unsafe vehicles. I learned, because of problems, to check the bus out the night before, or actually before the stores closed. Because, for instance, you're all ready to go. You check the bus out and there's lights that are not working. Well, now you've just delayed your trip. Everybody's there at a certain time, you're on a schedule. That throws your timetable totally off. And so I started doing it the night before, just to make sure there wasn't something that was wrong with that old bus. And by the way, these are all mistakes, you guys, that I made. And if you want to make mistakes, just run by the seat of your pants. And then you'll have stories about things that you did wrong when you were a camp director or a youth worker or whatever it might be. Women's banquets. No matter what it might be. And then you guys, what do you do after an activity? Evaluate. You girls going to do an evaluation? How many of you can think of something that if you just changed one thing, it would have made things so much better? Anybody? Okay. A couple of you. Okay. That's where the evaluation is really helpful, to go back and say, what did I learn from this? What did I learn? Any thoughts, comments? Anybody? There you go. Chapter 11, publicity, page 27. I don't think we covered this. Keys to publicity. Number one, you want publicity that will grab people's attention. There are different things that you gals did for your banquet to try to get people excited about what was coming, to get the information out to everybody. And there's a lot of things that you can do to get people's attention. Let me give you a few. This was not my idea. I read about this in those ideas books that we have in the library. They had an event coming up, and they got a refrigerator box. And they cut a door where you have to duck to go in. And they had their publicity on the inside. Nothing was on the outside. It just said, on the outside, look inside. How many of you would that be enough for you to go and see what is on the inside? Okay. Some of you might not, but there's definitely those that intrigues them. They want to see what's coming up. Something else. If you're going to put something on a bulletin board, don't be boring with your flyer. Don't be boring. Go to Walmart or Staples and get neon colors. You know, when you go into a church and they've got this bulletin board just filled with white sheets of paper, if there's one on there that is fluorescent orange, it's going to stand out above everything else. Trying to get people's attention. One time, we were starting a new program with the youth group, and we had a banner put up in the front of the church that said, "Something's coming." Sunday number one, Pastor Graves walks up to the pulpit, goes like this. Doesn't say a word. Second Sunday, walks in. Something's coming. Wonder what that is. Third Sunday, comes in and does the same thing. This time he says, I found out it has to do with the youth group. Something's coming for the youth group. Now, some of you, that would just drive you nuts because you want to know what's coming. But it's getting people talking about it, thinking about it. What's coming? What's coming? Posters in unusual places. There's students that have done that here at Frontier before. Like on the mirror in the bathroom. You don't normally expect to see something on the mirror. It's an unusual place. And so it catches your vision immediately because it's out of place. Skits. I love skits. And you could put with that videos. Some of you guys do some really great videos that gets everybody's attention. They can see something is coming. It's going to be fun. So on. Of course, Facebook is a way of advertising, PowerPoint, all those kinds of things can be used to get people's attention. Now, going along with what we talked about just a minute ago, number two is do long-range promotion. Many events need to be planned at least 3 months in advance. We had, in our youth group, we had a number of our young people involved in sports. And I think I told you guys this. You had to go to the office at their school and find out the sports schedule for the year, the choir schedule, all those different things. Okay, here's when winter sports are over with. Here's when spring sports start. We have one weekend where this event will work. And so you've got to do planning way in advance. Most schools plan events a year in advance. Number three, encourage them to bring a friend in your publicity. It can be used as a witnessing opportunity. Getting others excited to come. Number four, make it clear and complete. Clear and complete. I might have mentioned this. What typically do parents want to know? Pardon?
I said the cost.
The cost. Okay, that's one of the things they want to know. What else? Somebody else said something.
Details
like
when?
How long is it going to be? Where are you going to be at? You know, like they want to know what's going to be happening with your child. And all the logistics of it and stuff.
What else? Good. What else? Okay, girls, let's just say you're a mom. What do you want to know? Yes. Are there going to be female sponsors going on this trip? Moms want to know that kind of thing. Is there somebody that can kind of be like a mother with what goes on? And so that's good to know. What else is good to know?
When they'll be back.
When they'll be back. What else? Okay, special speakers. What else? Yes. Okay, what do they need food-wise? A lot of times when you're doing a trip, you stop at McDonald's or somewhere on the way there or the way back. And so letting them know, we're going to be stopping, we're going to have a meal here, you'll need enough money for this and so on. They need to know about food. Can you think of anything else? Yes. Contact information. How about what not to bring? What not to bring? On ours, I typically had no knives, no fireworks, no grenades. I just put down all kinds of stuff. Some of them were silly, some of them were serious. And at that time, I said no Walkmans. We didn't want them just listening to music the whole time. So things not to bring. The flip side, what will they need? What will they need? They need, I don't know. A warm coat? Is it where you're going to be cool? Is it going to be warm? What all are they going to need for wherever you're going? And a Bible, a notebook, a pen. If they're going to have speakers, devotionals, we wanted them to be able to take notes. And so all those things were on the flyer. So, anyway, but also it's good to have enough information so that kids aren't embarrassed. Let's say you're having some kind of a special party and there is an outfit they're supposed to wear, but somebody's coming and they don't know that. It's not in the contact information. Maybe it was set in youth group, but not everyone was there. But you wouldn't want somebody to feel weird because they're not dressed appropriately. And I just put, you know, advertise activities, meetings, special events, whatever. Just whatever you'd like. Keys to publicity. All right. Page 28. What goes with the territory in ministry?
Criticism.
Criticism. Seriously? You can get criticized if you're ministering. Some are still looking for this, it appears. Remember the two guys that thought they were surfers that I kicked out of youth group one time? We told the kids we were taking them on a hayride. And what we didn't tell them is that the hayride was going to be inside the church bus. Now, with those with hay fever, this probably would not have been the best thing. But I didn't think a whole lot about it. But anyway. One of the youth sponsors spent all week long taking all the seats out of the bus. Because we're going to have hay bales for everybody to sit on. So he worked all day. He would go over to the church at night and work at getting that all ready. We were all excited for this hayride. And then these two guys got on the bus, and this is exactly what one of them said. Is this it? Yes. If this is it, we're going home. And I said, well, that's totally up to you. But you're going to miss a really good time. Well, out of the corner of my eye, I see this guy's wife walking very quickly toward the church building. And I knew what was going on. Her husband had sacrificed time, their family had sacrificed time to put in all that work for these kids. And that's what these two, some people might call them nitwits, but two guys that really had bad attitudes. So I ran after her, and I caught up to her, and I yelled her name, she turned around, and she said, if this is youth ministry, I quit. I quit. And I said, here's the thing that you got to remember is everything that we're doing for the glory of God. And that's who we have to focus on. There are people that are always going to criticize. There are people that are never, ever going to be appreciative for what you do for them. But hey, if our motivation is right, if our motivation is to do all things for the glory of God, it keeps us hanging in there when people can be very unkind. You guys, I don't care if it's teaching a Sunday school class or whatever it might be, you're going to have people from time to time that criticize. And you're going to be tempted to say, well, fine, I quit. I don't have to do this. But if you do, you're missing out on an opportunity that God has given you. Do it for His honor and glory. That'll keep you going. Well, five things we can learn. I thought this was pretty good. Quite often we never see criticism as a positive thing. But he points out in this chapter that it can be very, very positive. What is one really good thing that we can learn from criticism?
It reveals our blind spots.
Okay, it reveals our blind spots. There are things that we may not see. There are things going on that other people can see it in us. It's a problem, but we can't see it. And if somebody comes and talks to us about it, that can be a really, really helpful thing. What's another thing? Yes. Okay, yeah. Sometimes we get really upset if somebody criticizes us, but when we do it, we don't think a whole lot about it. And how damaging it can be. How it discourages people. It says it keeps us humble. There's times we really need that. Sometimes we think we've got the world by the tail and we do everything right. And there's times where criticism shows us, no, we don't do everything right. He talked about opening doors of ministry to hurting people. He talked about a little girl in his youth group. I don't know if you remember that story. I thought that was pretty neat. Anyway. Five ways to respond to criticism. Somebody give us one. Okay. Determine the needs of the critic. So let's just say somebody comes to us with a criticism, saying something like this. What do you think I should do? You know, they've come to us with some criticism. We can either ignore it, get upset, or we could say, so what do you think I should do with this situation? And again, we can learn a lot from it and show that we care about what they had to say. What else? What would be another thing to do?
Evaluate yourself.
Okay, evaluate yourself. Write in your notes Proverbs 15:5. And chapter 12 and verse 1. What does our flesh want to do?
Respond in anger.
Respond with a criticism of our own. Well, you think this about me. Have you ever thought about this about you? But, yeah, evaluate ourselves. Will somebody read Proverbs 15:5?
A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent.
Okay. Whoever receives correction is prudent. They have wisdom. If they're willing to listen. And the problem is, if our flesh gets in the way, we can get defensive rather than really hearing what they're having to say. We can get defensive. Or we can listen. We can listen. And we can thank them. What would be something else we could do? Money. Okay. Don't avoid people that have criticized you. Is that how we sometimes want to respond when somebody has been critical? Where, okay, I'm avoiding them like the plague. If I get near them, I'm just going to get blasted. Actually, the Bible says to love your enemies. Now, maybe their criticism is unjust. Maybe it's unjust. And you have to pray about how to deal with those, but we do have to be careful that we don't have pride, that we avoid them, We can love people like that. We can love people. What's another way? There's one more.
Determine areas of offense and ask for forgiveness.
Okay. Well, that was another one we haven't done. So, if we see that we've done something wrong, be willing to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And usually, I was talking to somebody, this happened just recently. And this person had a confrontation with somebody, and the person was really, really, really irritated and really went after this person. And the person that was being criticized just said, you know what, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. I'll never do that again. Will you forgive me? And they told me they could just see this person bristle, and then they just started to relax. And the response to the criticism really made all the difference in the world. In that relationship. So, if we've offended, be willing to ask for forgiveness. I don't think we did this one to look at it positively. I have that number one on mine, but I'm just going to just say, don't assume the criticism is hostile. Don't assume the criticism is hostile. My landlord, he one time I shook hands with him, and he said, Nelson, you shake hands like a dead fish. He said, you communicate certain things about yourself when you meet people. If you shake hands like that, they can easily feel like, well, this person is so insecure. But he said, you give somebody a firm handshake. He said, that communicates to people. I never forgot that. And he wasn't doing it to make fun of me. I was extremely shy. Extremely shy. And it was helpful. He also talked to me about washing my car, too. Anyway, he was a neat guy. And I just put, this isn't in your book, but you can add one. We've already mentioned it. Another way to respond to criticism is to remember who we are doing things for. Remember who we are doing things for. Now let's just say you have somebody you need to talk to about something, and your heart's desire is to help them. Not to discourage them, not to put them down, but you really want to help them. How can we go about giving criticism? Let me give you four things. Number one is talk to the person, not others. Now that's something that too often we go to all the wrong places. And then nothing ever gets accomplished. Now I realize there are situations that may necessitate something like that happening. Okay? Getting somebody else involved. There may be a need for that. But if you have wronged somebody, would you rather that they come to you or go and tell the whole school? Which would you rather? And we're all that way. We don't always do a good job with that. But it is something that I think for the most part, it's best to start with the person. Two, avoid words like always and never. Avoid words like always and never. Does it bother you when you've done something and somebody says, you always do this? Yeah. Or they say, you never do this. Well, no, it wasn't never. It's just this person is upset. And so they exaggerate. Which we're going to talk about this in Christian family class because couples do this. And that's discouraging. Number three, don't bury them with criticism. Don't bury them. We're going to talk about this in Christian family class. Okay, little Johnny. Right now, we are going to talk about the top 50 things that irritate me about your behavior. Well, you're going to bury them. It's going to be like, how can I do anything right? And it's usually best just to tackle one thing at a time. I think it comes across much, much better. Much better. And then number four, balance criticism with compliments. Balance criticism with compliments. A lot of times we don't do a very good job of that. And that can be discouraging for people. We got to go right there, you guys. And we just have number four left on this page. Maybe we'll go back and do number six on Thursday and then come back to this one and do number four.